Zuk Salamuri says, just before the shiur starts, so I'd like to say something. But it starts the shiur as well, but a different Indian. I want to mention a Master Shoya this week, last year. And so starts a Master Shoya, but the daf is Zung, because some people don't know much about this halacha. So I'll tell you what happened. I might not get all the details exactly right, but you'll get the gist of the story. A lady left her cleaner in the house on her own and stopped there, really, because that's bad enough. I'm just saying, I mustn't do that. Well, I'll tell you the story anyhow. So she left her cleaner in the house on her own, and she came back and she saw. She had prepared schnitzels, on the fleshing aside, breaded and all ready with all the zinc was going to make, but ready to fry. And this cleaning lady decided to do her balabosta a favor, and she fried them. She came home, they were all fried. So she said to the goita, who switched on the light, the cooker. She said, oh, your son came in. Your son was 12, right? He came in and he did them. He did the gases. Oh. So she breathed with relief. Bochsham, see, say that. It's okay. Fashkenazim, okay. See, her father, which is a push it, because her father, the yid has to put the pan on the cooker. So, I think it was when her husband came in and she heard the master. He called up his son. His son was somewhere. He called up his son and said, did you put on the cooker for the goita to fry the schnitzels? But kids are new. He didn't do it. He didn't light the gas. So for Shtetzach, the problem of the other schnitzels and the problem of Ali Kalim and everything that's associated with it. So this lady told her neighbor, it's Masa. This lady was shocked. She said, you mean you can't know how to do that? I do that every single Yom Tov. I've got my goita comes in, and she just cooks, and she puts on the gas, and cooks, does all the cooking for Yom Tov for me. She's Yom Tov morning, she does everything else. So this is Mazukt. So I just thought I'd like to mention it. There are people who don't know Poshut Halachas. Yeah, that's the schnitzels. It doesn't help. Put it this way: it doesn't help that it's in the Yid's house. The Mechava says at the beginning of Kuf Yud Gimel that Dovah Sheinu Nechel Kmoishu Chai, anything that's not edible raw, and is Oil Al Shulchan Molochim, the Lafs Vesapas. Is in a papyrus shebishlei akum afidu bebeisis bekli Yisrael ubebeis Yisrael also mishum shulei akum. Yeah, so we shouldn't start imagining that there's no heterim because it's in the Yid's house or the Yid's kedim. And Muhammad says clearly this is also needs to be stressed because I tell you, it's not so pushed because there's no if you're going to be. And start looking up and shit and tool and besas. If you see, it's not so simple. But halacha mas is asoi. The halacha is gepaskend as everything is also mishum bishlakum. The younger man went and he threw everything out. All the schnitzels. His shaila wasn't on that. His shaila was on the kedim. How to kasher? What to kasher? We paskend that from you got to kasher from bishlakum. So daf kasher al kedim. That's a ganze geschäft gewesen. But just the fact to hear such a thing, the fact that people don't know that thus the Issa from Bishlakum is don't know what to call it, shocking, amazing, Christ. Aber man weiß nicht. Man weiß nicht. Yeah, just to remind the Mutschen Gemant, that's a pomo, and a gon, or a mush, fashion, the Chenner Rucha writes in Shuvas, if a person leaves a goy or goiter in the house on their own, it's kanzaim, daf kashan alakadim. He says kanzaim, actually. Of a, you don't know what the goyim do. You think you can rely on them, you think they're trustworthy, maybe to an extent, but they don't know what they're doing wrong, really, when they're doing something wrong often. So weiß nicht. Yeah, so. Noch zum Tracht, for us, going back to my point we spoke about last year, people who do their own cooking and their own baking and others and sell to the public may be doing things which they don't even know are wrong. And they often do. I've been to people's houses who wanted to get a hechsher to do catering. I saw what they do in their kitchens. Go, elach yidin. But they're doing things completely wrong. So they're washing up. And they're all for shidin zachen. It's madav homa hechsher. Because the people who give hechsherim know all the bits and pieces, that all the ins and outs of things that can happen and what to do and so on. But a lot of people who are elach yidin, and they are not aware of halachadikah zachen, pushed to zachen. So, Lodach and Kashan Kedim. I remember, I think I mentioned once this year, somebody here, a very chushu lady, she was, it was a Friday afternoon in winter, and she hadn't put her fish on for Yantzah, for Shabbos, I mean, Friday night, and she went upstairs to do things upstairs, and she'd forgotten about the fish. The same master, so they clearly saw the fish already in the pan, ready to cook, and she saw the clock was ticking away, and it was getting Shabbos, and she thought, well, I've also not get her fish done for Shabbos on time. So she put it on. She put it on and boiled it, and the gansach cooked. So she smelt this smell of cooking fish wafting upstairs, and she realized, just a minute, this must be the goiter, so that's what she thought, I put it on. And she raced downstairs, and kachava, everything was cooked, all fine, ready to serve. Yep. So you have to throw it all out. So, Al-Kabonim, those are Zachen was... We think all our wives are Talmid Chachomim because they've been to Sem. But Zaytais is the element of Shikha, yeah? Kenzan. But Al-Kabonim, they're Shtikla of Chidag of Al-Zum because... they're pushing me Sura. I don't know, listen. Yeah. Okay, so Last week we spoke about the brocha on Weetabix, shredded wheat, and we said that the grains are cooked whole. Grains are cooked whole. We saw mefurish in Shulchan Aruch. Grains are cooked whole, and they've not been split. The grains have not been split at all, and if not removed the peel of the grains. It's a very proud domo. So the question is, why is Weetabix very minimizinus? So the question is, who says it is? Yeah. Weetabix is very minimizinus. Shredded wheat is very minimizinus. But when they cook the grains, so the grains are a whole. So we gave the answer. So I feel quite a few poskim talk about it. The Mitzvahs of Chavdim Abyssal. The answer we gave was that the emes is there is a second cooking, yeah, because the grains are then put through rollers, and which change the grain into flakes of wheat in Weetabix, as in Weetabix, or into strands of wheat, which is as in shredded wheat, and then they get cooked again because they're very soggy. Then still, they're still soggy. You can't eat them as they are. You can squeeze the water out of them because it's still soggy from the cooking process. You then go through another cooking process, and that cooks them, bakes them, call it whatever you like, but it's a different cooking. It's not our cooking. And the mila, you've cooked them after they're on the srasik, after they become shredded, the shtiklach wheat. So the mila is on the zonis. But the dina, on the chiddush, which dates from Chaim Sanza, not just Sanza, but Chaim Sanza, so he writes that if you've got cooked wheat, and the grains have been cooked whole, and you have misupik, some soup you want to make a mezonos and alamichin and that, so just mash it up. Mashing has been done by hand after the cooking. In the Paschim Shteh, it's mashma, from the Rosh and the Mugan Avraham, that's got to be mashed through the cooking. Not that you mash it by itself afterwards with a fork and knife or something like that. So according to that, it's not a problem anyhow. But we don't need that. We haven't got that problem. Because it is cooked and baked again. So maybe this is poshut ha'avir mine mazoinis. I can't remember now. Did we mention puffed wheat? No? Okay, so let's talk about puffed wheat. What brocha do you make on puffed wheat? Somebody once asked Yitzchak here in Manchester, asked him what brocha do you make on puffed wheat, and he looked at him and he said, I don't understand. You don't wash for breakfast? That was it. The whole purpose of these series is not to have to wash. Yeah. So, I'll tell you the truth, if you wash, I'm not so sure that you don't make a brocha on the puffed wheat, because pashtus, the puffed wheat is not lalafis sapas, not made to be eaten with the bread. It's eaten on its own. So therefore, kenzayin, it doesn't cover the brocha. The brocha on the bread may not cover the brocha on the puffed wheat. We won't go into that now. So how do you make puffed wheat? How is puffed wheat made? Is there a bishul? Is there not a bishul? So, if you look up and find out in the history books, you know, how is puffed wheat made, you'll read up and you'll see, straight away, you get wheat, boil them for 1.5 hours, the grains, and then you put them through some means of puffing them up, and we call it shemam, puffed wheat. It's puffed wheat. No, it's cooked. So if it's cooked, the chayra should be mazainus. Unless you say the grains stay whole. But the truth is they don't stay whole. At least in puffed wheat, they don't stay whole, because in puffed wheat they're pearled. In other words, like the Mishavur talks about pearled barley, that means they're smoothed over. They're made more round, they change the shape. So it goes through a pearling process. So the Mishavur on that he brings pearled barley. If they're made smaller, soirim barley, which if removed the outer shell and mix has with him as well, because part of the actual grain also comes off in the process, and they're smaller than they were, and that's called pearl barley, pearl grafen. So hanegim levorich aleihem boirim min mazoinis ulaachav men sholosh lechatchila afim loinis machor le diavishul, even they didn't become mushed up in the cooking process. Ein lim chesviyodon. You can't object to people making a mazoinis. Another mechil, which is an interesting notion to say. Yeah, here it's kilu. If you make very proper, the more is echtish gefalach. But if you want to make a mazoinis, another mechil, ein moichin viyodon. Interesting. Interessante Sache. So what's about our puffed wheat? Today our puffed wheat, I think, worldwide is the same thing. Puffed wheat isn't cooked. The wheat is no longer cooked, in other words, for 1.5 hours on some ice. It's not cooked. Remember when we were children? Puffed wheat is advertised, is shot through gums. Yeah? Everybody remembers? Yeah. Shot through guns. You spend the whole breakfast reading it all up on the side of the box. So, what's up, Shatz? There's no cooking. There is no cooking at all. It is done like... It's like... like popcorn. The corn, the grains of wheat are steamed at very, very high pressure, and that's only the steaming, is not for cooking. The steaming is to condition them, like we said last week, to make them able to be popped with the heat of the oven they put through afterwards. So they come out popped, and the popping of the grain is a very interesting thing. It changes the whole structure of the inside of the grain. It's a complete change. That's what, otherwise, normally wouldn't be how to get so soft. It's changed. The whole structure changes, and that's puffed wheat. So we said last week, we saw it from Shetan Tur, Shetan Shulchan Aruch, that grain which is even if it is cooked, but it remains whole, is very pure domo. If there's no cooking. Yeah? And even if it is cooked, we said, even if it is cooked, if the grains remain whole, it's blight, boire, pri, hardoma. Das steht in Schuchenoch. Ochal dogon. If you ate grain, chai, raw, oi osu kloyos, or toasted, oi sholuk, vagarinim shlemim, or even if it's cooked, but the grains are remain whole, einoim, boire, chale, boire, pri, hardoma. As it so happens, I went to this factory which makes puffed wheat. Somebody wants to make up the Hechshon sugar puffs. It's in Shkubaum, but at least I saw the factory. It's interesting. Yeah, so, that's exactly how puffed wheat nowadays is made. Yeah, they're puffed. They are steamed, and what happens is, under very high pressure, and when they release the pressure, it's very suddenly open the door and release the pressure. The that causes the grains to expand, and to come out puffed. That's how it's done. There's no cooking involved. Nothing. It's like cloyes. It's like toasted wheat, which will be made to puff up. So what bracha should it be? If it's not cooked, it should be hardoma. So puffed wheat should be very hardoma. The shali is a bracha chayna. Oh, a bracha chayna, pashtus is very hardoma. It's not mazainus. Actually, you can't even make mazainus. But I want to suggest that the Chorazogna Shikla Racha, Mr. Chiddish, of a Chorazogna Zay, Afilu Alatzad, it is cooked. Let's just assume for a moment you've got a box of puff sweet made in a company where they pre cook it, like I said before. When they cook it, they want it to be cooked. Why? Because they've got to get this moisture into it and they've got to soften it up to make it Ori Lachida. And plus, these grains are pearls, like the pearls barley that the Mishavur talks about. For barley, the same is with the wheat grains. Wheat grains, for making puffed wheat, they pearl them. That means they shape them. They remove not just the shell; they remove parts of the wheat to make it in a shape that it'll, when it puffs up, it'll be the right tzura that they want. So it's pearls. So by cooking, if it's like with the soyim, with barley, zukta mishavura, can machna mazoinus, yeshana malismoich. Oh, but there, it's only because it's cooked. But here, when we're talking now of grain, let's say it is cooked, would it then be a mazoinus? L'chir, if you do a mishavura, it should be a mazoinus. Let's just think, why is it mazainus? state that it's mezoinus, normally it's mezoinus only if it's nismaich, if it's squashed and it comes out as a mush. But here, because they've been pearled, zuktum shavua, even without it being squashed, it's a mezoinus. Why? Because that's the way of making a tavshil. It's on the way to becoming a tavshil. Normally that's the derech of a tavshil, that you mush them up so you make a mezoinus on it. But what happens if I've subjected grains or wheat or whatever to a procedure where the feirish, I don't want it to become a mush. I don't want it to become a dicer, a one goof of a mushy food. I want to keep them separate. I've got an interest in keeping the grain separate. Like a muscle with puffed wheat. Nobody wants it, when they cook puffed wheat, the wheat before puffing it, they don't want it to be all mushed together in one because then they can't make puffed wheat out of it. It'll just go to pieces. It's not garnished. They want to keep them separate. How do you keep them separate? So we already saw last week how in Wheatovix do they cook the grains and the whole without making them into a mush. It's because they're cooked in a rotating drum. It's a simple thing. There's a drum with a grain in it, and it keeps on turning and turning and turning, so the grains haven't got a chance to get stuck to each other, or to be nismaich, to get mushed up. The grains are all separate. So where I do a pu'ula to ensure that the grains don't become nismaich, or certainly not nismaich squeezed together with each other, I'm doing an action of like a kavona lehepach. I've got a kavona forget, I don't want to be used to something. Here, I've got a kavona that shouldn't be, I don't want it to be mushed up because I want to have separate grains to make my puffed wheat into separate grains. So it's never a tafshil. It can't become, I don't want it to become a tafshil. So even though if you haven't got that detention, you're entitled to make adom on it, or minimizoinus, like the Mishavu says, other way, you've got a clear intention not to let the food become mushed up together and become one mass, that is back by Piradoma. I'm suggesting. That's the Chmir Sassor of Shuta, it makes sense to say that is not a tashil. And that then, not only you can make a Beri Adoma, maybe you have to make a Beri Adoma. Because although you can't make Beri Adoma, because it's been prevented from becoming a tafshil. It's not a tafshil. It's not a sort of a tafshil. The Chora.
Sugar puffs the same.
Exactly the same, yeah. In the culture, yeah. They usually want to coat every sugar puff with sugar and honey and whatever else goes into it. Yep. So lechora, it should never be a shadow of mezoinus. So although the possum discuss that maybe it's a mezoinus, maybe it's a longer, lechora, if you're processing it in such a way that they can't become mushed together and become one mass like a dicer, it's not a mezoinus at all. It's got to be very pure, because that's how I want it to be. That's how it's treated. Yep. So, I haven't found the raya. I forget about. Yep. It's not going to come up with itself. So puffed wheat, I think dachzichmir the minigodim is to make adoma. This is adoma. It's like separate grains, even though they're pearled, but they're never mushed together. It never turns into a mush. So maybe even though parts of the grain are missing, it's not like the barley, pearled barley that Mishra talks about. Pearled barley, because there you want to be a tafshil. So it's on the way to becoming a tafshil, so it's a mezoinus. The grains of wheat for which puffed wheat is used, and they go through a process of being pearled, and a process of being rotated in a rotary drum to cook, to make sure they don't stick together. So how can you call that a tafshil? I'm doing a pula from shaket that shouldn't become a tafshil. So the chayyur pashas doesn't become a tafshil, should remain very proud of.
If it's mixed with milk and it becomes now a mush.
Oh, so that's the shaila. If it comes, if if you mix it with milk and then it becomes a mush. That's what I was going to come to the next shikli, yeah? But here, that's not the intention with sugar puffs or puff treats. The intention is you want them to be separate. It's not. If you want to mush a wheat, you can find other ways of doing it. You can have a Weetabix. You can have a shredded wheat, yeah?
Rice cake, then you want them all squashed.
Alright, so rice cakes. Okay, if you're saying rice cakes, let's talk about rice cakes. So, what's about rice cakes? So, rice cakes couldn't argue, like you're saying. I don't know. Rice cakes, they're all mushed together. What mushes them together? What makes them look like mushed together? An individual? Okay, well, let's go back a step. Are rice cakes cooked? Are they cooked? They're not cooked. Not rice cakes are cooked, and not wheat cakes are cooked, and not corn cakes are cooked. They're all raw. They're raw, and it operates like a popping process, like popcorn. Except, now with popcorn, you can just put it through the machine and it turns out as popcorn, although you get a certain percentage of grains that don't pop. But with rice and other things like that, they soak it in water first, because in order to get it to pop, like I mentioned last week about the Rice Krispies, the rice is it can be soaked in water in order to, well, that's a conditioning, to make it in such a way that the popping afterwards works, that it pops, becomes a popped rice, a grain of rice. So the rice cakes is also, they're being popped in a different way to the cereal ones. They get popped, and it's just popped rice. What is it? Cloyes. It's toasted wheat, toasted rice, which are popped. Aye, they're mushed together. Ashataka, they become a very minimazenis. There's no bishul. But Chaim Sanza said that if you cooked rice and then you mushed it up, and because mush becomes a mazenis, or with grain or anything, that's because it goes through a bishul. But here, how do they get squashed together? It has nothing to do with the cooking process. The rice cakes, they drop the rice, they've got a whole set of round, circular kelim, yeah? And the rice which is now conditioned, drops a certain amount into each, automatically it drops a certain amount into each, and then they put a lid on, and then it goes through an oven at a very high temperature. So the oven pops the rice. Oh, well, this poor rice is very squashed, very squeezed in space, because they're in a tiny area. So because they can't jump out, because they're enclosed in this circular keli, they get squashed together. That's all. That's all that happens. Nothing more than that. It's not the heat that squashes them. It's not the cooking process. There's no cooking process at all. It just gets squashed into the frame in which they're imprisoned. Yeah. So where's the bishul? Where's the michal de bishul? It's just corn that's been popped. So it's by piyadoma. Therefore, wheat cakes is the same thing. There's no shayla b'rimin ozeinus on it, because it's not cooked. Not cooked. Steht in the Gemara, that any corn, any grain, even wheat, which is not cooked, is just toasted. It's very pinyadama. The fact that it gets squashed together has got nothing to do with the cooking process. So the choyer is pashtus is a very pinyadama. And that is Bemes, the shitter which is ungunim in Nesisrol. Rav Minyan, or Poskim in Nesisrol are of that opinion, that it's a Bari Prihodoma. All these so called cakes, yeah, the rice cakes and the wheat cakes and the corn cakes, it's all the same bracha, all Hodoma, because there's no cooking. And the mushing part of it, without it being cooked, Pashtus Lemal of Lemurid. It only becomes a mazenas with grain if it is part of a cooking process. The cooking process squeezes, squashes them, makes them mushy. But here it's the the space, the small space in which the grains are dropped, that's making them, causing them to become squashed together, simply because there's no room for them to expand more. So they squash into each other, and that's it. So mehechatesa, the rice cake should be mazonis, or wheat cakes, or any of these cakes. Yes, pashas is on priyadoma. Pashas priyadoma. The shaila of oats. So oats is treated differently to other of the chamish saminim, in that they've got to go through a process of heating to it's got different names you call it, but to get rid of a very bitter enzyme in the oats. The oats have got a bitter enzyme, and if you don't get rid of the enzyme, that you'll, when you eat it, it's got a very bitter taste. So all oats are subjected to heat treatment in order to kill off the enzyme. And then again, that's effective for a certain amount of time after it's done, because after a certain time, it can come back. The enzyme seems to be yeah, it's chayzavaneya. So what do they do? So they treat it with heat. It's got to be treated with heat. Now we have this big problem when we start the first time to make oat matzahs. How do you make oat matzahs as a kosher Pesach? Many places treat it with steam. Now you've got the oats coming down, in one place, so coming down literally one grain at a time, down a pipe, and in the middle of the pipe, there's another pipe coming into it, and they're belching steam through that pipe onto every grain that comes down, and to heat it to the point that the enzyme in the grain, in each grain, is killed, right? Call it that. Right? Yeah? So steam, no, they're fine, but Pesach, comes a Chashnitzel, you can't use such a system for Pesach. Chashnitzel, it's a Chashal from Chumas. So what other ways are there of doing it? The other ways are, one way is a very primitive way. You've got a big boir, a goyser boir, with a big fire in it, and covered with a sheet of iron, steel, or whatever it is, iron usually. And they light the fire, they light the furnace, and they pour the oats onto this metal top, and they turn it over the whole time there, and so it gets heat treated, and that heat kills the enzyme. Now, my sir, where I went to see oats being processed without steam was just across the Scottish border in Scotland, and I saw there, they got a gewaltige chochma. They had two large cylinders, concentric cylinders, it was one inside the other, space of about, I think, 6 centimeters between the two. And they fed grain, oat grains, into the top between the two things, and the inside cylinder rotated and made the grain drop, caused the grain to drop between the two cylinders, slowly, and as it dropped, in the center of the middle cylinder, in the center, there was a burning fire on the ground, and it was belching out boiling hot air, and that treated the oats, and it dried the oats in a way, and it roasted them to an extent, and the oats came out without the enzyme, doing very nice, without any water. Yeah, Madi no fundem the gav Pesach. The gans a complicated maaser, because this was the first time ever. I'm not sure, but I didn't see anywhere any record of oats being used for Pesach. Chosham chavish that you can use it, but it doesn't talk about this heat treatment. So what was it? I've got a shayla. I'm just saying, interesting. I have a shayla there like this. When you go to see a factory, you've got to be curious, just curious, and you've got to want to look at everything, even though it doesn't sound sort of any shaychus to your purpose. And sometimes these companies are very strict about that. They've got a route for visitors. the other visitors go to certain routes this way, that way, you can't go into that place, you can't go into that place, and there's a lack of the place I want to go into, only because they don't want to go into. So you've got to go to these places. And Matonj Gleibungs the Goy Zucht, Darfzain, Ain't a Man. The Goy says things for his own interest, and they've got certain secrets, processing secrets, they don't want you to know. So, but here I didn't have that problem in this case. I went right to the top of these two cylinders. It was very high. It was 3-4 stories high. It was very high. So I went to the top. I want to see what was under the top, Dalton. What was Titzel, Dalton? I went to the top, and I tell you, I almost choked. I couldn't breathe. Because the air there was full of moisture. Because the hot air penetrating the grains evaporated the moisture of the grains. And it all rose, it rises, and at the top, the air was totally saturated with moisture. Oh, just a minute, if we're talking about Pesach, the moisture, it's a chashal of chumus of Pesach. The chashal of chumus. Yes, what do you do about that? So, don't lose your head, you don't have to say if you don't get a kid. And the Chayolim says that there's a sugi in the Gemara of Shnei Chitim Shechochon Zeh Vazeh. If you roasted two grains of wheat together, then automatically you're going to have a release of moisture from one to the other. So the Shaili doesn't become, is it a Shalom Chometz? So he says no. The Gemara says it doesn't become chometz as long as it's open at the bottom, that there's no moisture gathering together to create a pool of wetness of liquid. So it was all okay. So these oats. Actually, just a matter of interest, there was another shayla there with these oats. So chere as kosher Pesach, that's fine. Of course, the whole factory had to be cleaned out to make the kosher Pesach. We had a very, very big job. But the shayla was as like, it was noticed after a time that, and this was noticed because after we stopped kidding of that factory, we had to get oats from a company in Montana. Montana is in north of America. Yeah, north. And because why there? Because you had to get oats. Oats are gluten free. People who have to have oat masses are people who can't take wheat, because wheat has got gluten and it's got to be gluten free. So oats are gluten free, better. The reason why there's always a percentage of gluten in oats is because it grows in an area where there's other fields, and the grain from the other fields flies into the field of oats, and then so therefore there's always a mixture of oats in it. So there's a mixture of such percentages of oats. So it's not gluten free. A person who's got a celiac mustn't have any. It's a chashash of pikuach nefesh. So we went to Montana. Montana there they've got huge expanses of fields only oats. Not oats. There's no chashash of anything else, and there's they're above the level or below the level of there's got to be -5 ppm, -5. In other words, got to be less than 5 parts per million of oat in gluten in there. The reason I say -5 because they've not yet found a way of measuring less than 5. So they say it's -5. But it was probably less than that. It was some zero. Oh, so we went there, and then we discovered an interesting thing, that there the oats were moving along a belt inside a kind of a tunnel, and they piled up. Yeah, it was high, right? A couple of feet high. And was found, they made a test. They took the oats after that treatment and planted them. And they found that in the layer that was nearest to the source of heat, the gluten was the oats was killed so much. So not only the gluten was killed, the protein was killed as well. The koich achimutz, that's by the agar one a mistake which are very supposed to the macht gedrückt. They're writing that gluten. If gluten is not there, so how can it be used for chamish saminim for matzah? It's not a min of chamish saminim. It can't become chometz. Why can't it become chometz? Because it hasn't got gluten. Yeah, but his mistake was gluten makes the dough rise, but it's not the koicha machmitz. The koicha machmitz is the protein. Yeah, if you look in Gemara, it doesn't say that it rises. Gemara says that's if it's got the stokim. Now, the rising, that's a pool of the gluten. But the pool of chimutz is a protein. So as matzah is kosher, but if it doesn't grow anymore because it's been killed, the protein has been killed to the point that it can't grow anymore, then kanzain, then it can't become chumus either. If you can't become chumus, actually you can't use it for matzah. Because matzah, you can only use with matzah which is bolidei chibutz. If it's made of grain, it's bolidei chibutz. If the grain has been treated to the point that it can't come to the chibutz, and one of the proofs of that it doesn't grow, it's okay, it's kosher Pesach, but it's not kosher for to be eaten mitzvah matzah. Yeah. So that was again a problem. We got around all that. Everything eventually, we started this whole thing about 35 years ago. That's all I got. I mean, Shnogi came in as Netzol and Bakum Shem Matzahs from Oats, with Ali Hidurim without all these problems. So but that's Oats. Sure. So let's come to Oats. Oats. So all oats are treated with some kind of heat to kill the enzyme. So if it's dry heat, it doesn't make any problem for brochos, as we know just now. Dry heat is like toasted. Toasted grain is hodomo. That's cloyous. It's poshut. It's straight to food. That's claw. The shali is what happens if you use steam. Yeah, the steam is not supposed to cook at all. It doesn't do any cooking. It only kills the enzyme. Actually, the heat of that steam is just below 100 degrees centigrade. It's not even so hot. So this is not cooked. It's not roi lachid anymore after this process than before. So it's not bishul. So it's again a situation of grain, which has gone through a roasting process, zolzayin, aber without bishul. So it's sodoma. So you put oats in a bowl. You want to have breakfast, you want to have oats. So you pour oats in the bowl. And then what do you add? Milk. Yeah? Hot or cold? So if you follow the best recipe in the box, they're not going to say anything cold. Also, it's not hot. But many people use hot, I think cold, hot, yeah. The Rosh Hashanah was the only roch he had every day, that's what he had for breakfast. Oats, so I think, what about Piyodoro? That's what my inquiries may tell me. Yeah, so, because you add cold milk to the oats, black is very Piyodoro. Push it. Why should we become a Mzenis? Buzzing. May not be so pushed. Why? But what happens if you pour, if you have oats in the official way, you put the oats in a pan with milk and you boil the pan and boil the milk, then you get real oats. That's how you're supposed to have porridge. That's a porridge, palas. Yeah. It's cooked. So it's all cooked. So what Amazonas? That's ain't maladava, just Amazonas. Just push it, hackle medium. So what happens if you don't do either way? What you do is you pour boiling milk onto the plate of oats. So let's uptouch. What have you done? What have you done here? You've done an eroi klirishin. You poured your milk from the klirishin onto the oats. Does that do bishul or not? It's a machlokes. It's a shayla. It's a sofuk. Yeah, everything. It's a shayla if it's mevashel kli klif or not. It's chashel, it's machlokes. It's a chashel. But kali habishul is not do by Shabbos. Shtetnish, in ganz Yeridei, shtetnish demand kali habishul anyway. Listen, yeah? I'm saying the Maril is up to us. The Maril is up to us. You know, kali habishul is a specific hilchos Shabbos de kashel. So that's not a problem. Eveda, so when you pour boiling milk on your oats, so the certain amount of the oats will become boiled by the Iri creation. Esher, Misophic. So where is the Sophic? The Shtar come up to see. So it's a Kinzain, but it's not a Bishul. Is it a Bishul or not? So just if you want to get out of that shaila, some want to say it doesn't matter if a suffolk bishul, that's what machmas zayin. It's very predominant. But if you want to get out of that shaila, there's a very simple way: boil your milk, pour it into a cup, or pour from a cup into the oats, because then you've got eri klisheni. Eri klisheni hakom moedim is not mevashel. So that's the way to get out of any shaylas of bishul. You pour your boiling milk into an empty cup, empty keli, anything, and pour it from there, your milk, onto the oats. So it's eri klisheni. The chol adeis is not mevashel. It's not mevashel. So it's okay. So okay. So then, so what's black? What broch do you make on the oats? Hodama. And there's no bishul. That's your bishul. What's on? Don't come to that. We've left the Ruach Chayna pending, Doral. Yeah, we didn't answer that question for the Pachtuid either. Yeah. Oh, so any of these grains where you've got the Boyer Piyadomo, the Shal is, what about a Ruach Chayna? So Ruach Chayna, so do state in Shulchan Aruch as Machab brings us a Sofik and Taisik of the Sofik, whether there is such a thing as a Ruach Chayna on Chamesh Saminim, which is not, you can't say it's not on the Chamesh Saminim, on the Min Dogo, which is not Chamesh Saminim, or even Chamesh Saminim, is there such a thing as Ruach HaChoyna on something you made Hardom on, Chavtila? If you made Berpi Hardom on your Puff Tweet, let's say, whatever it is, and then you come to Ruach HaChoyna, what Ruach HaChoyna do you make? Do you make Berin Afoshes? Or is it like Chamesh Saminim, that you got to make what? Al Adoma or Pri Adoma? Just a minute. Al Adoma, Pri Adoma. So Rishit Rabbi in the Talmud had written in the Siddha. In the Siddha, he wrote that Al Adoma or Pri Adoma. And Al Amichim would say Al Adoma or Pri Adoma. Then, later time, Rabbi in the Talmud crossed that out. He said, Shtetnish is a bracha. Shtetnish. That's inventing new brachas. It's a nine meiser. Although it became a sofik, so much so the Mechava says, for that reason, you should only eat it teich asuda. So that way, come back to what the Mechisisak said. You should wash your breakfast. Yeah. So, aber seht euch, at the Welt hat ungenommen, lehokel in dem. It looks to me like that from the Chuvus von Igus Moshe, von Agon Moshe, Zechane Rocha, where he talks about all these shailas. And he talks about all these kind of cereals. And he doesn't mention this suffix of the tastes, yeah, as so some people would eat different types of things, so make a nachbruch on each one, yeah, to cover that, yeah. We'll come to rice in a minute, we'll see. So people who eat puff to eat, or for that matter, If you pour boiling water onto boiling milk, onto your oats, and you've got a suffolk bishul, and then you've got a suffolk ruach achoina, but the master, the minig olam is to make a berin afoshes. There's a minig olam as a state. There's a minig olam as a berin afoshes. Because otherwise, it's gaitnish. You know? Otherwise, having breakfast in the morning could be very complicated and time consuming. Activity. So, there was Machta Borin and Foshes, Yeshla Malismoich. So that's oats. Yeah. The rice is a different shayla, because rice, many possibly say on rice, even you cook it whole and it stays whole, it's a mazonis. That's the derech habishul of rice. The derech habishul of rice is whole. So daf machan mazainis. And there you've got no shal of bruch achoina, because on rice, the bruch achoina is b'rin afoshes, anyhow. Yeah, so that becomes a shikl shal with rice. Well, kaponim rice is hardomo, is ala michil, and then b'rin afoshes, if it's cooked, if it goes to a cooking process. Yeah. Sorry? If it's cooked, yeah, it's a mazainus, even with a peel on. We saw before that grain, other mini grain with the shell on, with the peel on, and you cooked it, it's a adoma. With the rice, it's a mazainus. That's one of the chilukim one has to remember. Yeah, so So many series like that. Now there's complicated series, you know, the tzirufim, all kinds of different piece things. You often miss how it's made in order to know what bracha. The emphasis is that one should print on them. People give the hash should print on the boxes what the bracha is. Except sometimes there's not enough room to put the whole chaver mo bi'aluchem and so on. Shalosh Shemus afterwards. Shalosh Shemus is anyhow on these boxes. Because there was a whole shayla in Esrul, but don't go even this thing of putting the bracha on the boxes, and going against the shayla, does it become Shemus? The box of Shemus can put them in the bin. So you say, Bechosse Shahakoil, you've written a psak. This is Torah. So you can't throw it in the bin. That's what you do. Yeah? So you put Beis Shahakoil. Remember, Beis Shahakoil does not mean say twice shahakoy, it means bechosse shahakoy. That's what the seichel of us like. So as I used to go on, I had to say, there was a huge machlokes in that sort of a few years ago, and we started putting these brachos on the instructions for brachos, and then there was a big tool. Is it Shemus? Is it not Shemus? But the problem here in England is, if you have any cereal which has the by appointment of Her Majesty the Queen, yeah, and there in her coat of arms it says the Shem Hashem, G-O-D, the Shem Hashem. Yeah, so what do you do about that? Has it got a kedusha or not? What do you do? Yeah. So shteitach, b'emzah mishvur shteit, the Shem Choyl, is Hashem. You can't be made with this meaning bizoin. You can erase the Shem Hashem. In English, G-O-D can erase. Become a negative with it. You can't put it in the bin of the rubbish. Yeah? So people start getting busy when they have any of these cereals. They start getting busy erasing, crossing out, or with a pen, every one of these. Or since nobody only covered on Shem Hashem, these chevra are printing them, packing them. You've got no idea of Shem Hashem, and agonish. So Hashem's got no kedusha at all. Stam is printed. So this come clear. This is. This came not clear. This but that's why it's shaila. It's shaila of Shemus. You've got to be careful about this, because if one starts saying that you've got to do the Shemus, you can imagine all the Shemus boxes will be over full within 2 days. You know, so that was on the shaykh. Yeah. We're already up to there, and we've only got 2 minutes left. Was it Shemus? Yeah, was it Shemus? So, I don't mean anybody here. I don't mean any particular group of people. I'm just saying, in Shulchan Aruch, there's a simon called Simon Hay, which hardly anybody ever learns it. It was a very small simon, it was about 3 lines. Of the state of Vichtige Zach, she Kavonas Hashemus. The kavonas you should have when you say Shem Hashem. So stay dorten that when you say kavonim Shem Yud Kevovke, in the first verse of Krishna, you've got to have mechavon adoyna koil and holy hoy beviyeh, and by lekenu kim you've got to mechavon takif balecholis balecholis kolom. Shem Avnos is adoyna koil. So a lot of people say the Shem Hashem correctly. Milra means we say Adoy and then Noi. The stress is on the Noi. Yeah, stress on the Noi. Some people say it Milel. Adoy and then Noi. They stress the Adoy. But that's not correct. Is there anything wrong with it? Dor Sharachua. Sharachua in Simon Hay says that he was asked by the Kilo Kadosh of Sfardim in Hamburg whether the Shem Hashem could be pronounced Mil Elo Mil Ra. So he writes back, hello, look to Chalazun Demas, Diktuk, I have no knowledge at all. Kenish Kadosh, nothing. Yeah, no. But I'll tell you one thing. Shem Adonenu, the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam, you've got to say properly. And it's Mil Ra. It's got to be Mil Ra. You've got to say the noi milera, the good stress, the stress is on the noi, not on the adoi. Azoi break there from the Nedvi Huda. Zukta, and then he carries on, he says, he brings from the Yavits in the Sefer, no, Lacheres. And Sefer Lacheres, he brings that, more than that, he says, if you say the Shem Hashem Mele'el, it doesn't mean the Ribbon Shalom. It means Shem Adlus Ba'alma. The Shem that's miyuchad for the Ribbon Shalom is Dafka Menara. If you say Mele'el, it's like saying Shem Adlus Ba'alma. Oh, that's a bit more serious. Yeah, it's Kilu Lassan Shkazuk Kan Shem. So, what's the tip of so many thousands of people who are saying Shem is Mele'el? So, let's say you believe and you attack a noyeg that always say Shem Hashem Mele'el. Would you say Shem Hashem for nothing, Mele'el? In Shvi, a lot of people use it as saying Hashem Hashem. It's not worse, it's not worse than saying Hashem Hashem in English. To say Hashem Hashem in English, b'chinam tumanisht. I'm Shibulus, I'm in Peiches, I think, or Peites. So it means Ribbono Shelam. Actually, it's not the proper Shem of the Ribbono Shelam, it means Ribbono Shelam. So you can't say you said Hashem for nothing. Oh, you've not said it correctly. Yeah, so, you can choose where you want to belong. Aber in Shuchnoch gerät, darf nur so. Richtig, Mela, it's got to be said, Shem Hashem, it's got to be Mela. This is a wichtige Sache. It's a Nekuda which is very neglected. Because children are taught from Aleph Beis already. Mela is a kind, it's richtig, mit Chila. So it's Kim, Shabesh, Kim, the all, and they can't change. It's very, very hard to change. You can't, once a mistake gets crept in, you can't change it. So it's a very difficult thing. So this is the thing that can do it. But say it was called.
What makes the goat edible?
Sorry?
What makes the oat edible? What goes is